Blog Talk Radio.
I do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I'm calling to you live from Holbrook, Arizona, as we do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We've got a great show for you today, and hopefully I can get everybody unmuted quickly enough to get them in on this. I've got my co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady, with me. Hang on, Rhonda, I'm trying to get you unmuted right now, so give me a second to get there. The computer is not cooperating with me. And we've got some guests with us today, too, that I have been really looking forward to meeting. Okay, finally it's opening, Rhonda. Almost there. When you travel like I do, sometimes you get internet connections that are just not quite as good as you would like them to be. And today is about at dial-up speed, so things are taking a lot longer than I'm used to.
I got us both unmuted, Gina. They actually let me do it this time, so.
Oh, yay.
Hi there, guys. Oh, sorry for the delay. Judith and Jim are here. Oh, wow. So, Gina, I'm excited about all of your travels, and I know what you mean about internet connections, and we all love technology when it works exactly the way that it's supposed to.
Yes, exactly. And today I'm on a Wi-Fi connection that you would think Wi-Fi should be at Wi-Fi DSL type speeds, but no, it's like really, really slow.
Well, we shall persist, and it's very exciting. Today I've opened up a chat for people so that folks can chime in, you know, make comments, ask questions, whatever. And do you want to do the honors, or shall I?
I think you shall.
Oh, well, okay. I am so excited about our guest today because, quite frankly, I wanted to meet and talk to these folks anyway. So it was just really very exciting. And the funny thing is we met under a different circumstance, and I said, oh, we'd love to have you. You'd be perfect guest for this radio show. I have Judith and Jim, the authors of The Heart of Marketing, and they have several books in the relationship arena. And they've bridged the gap over to marketing, and what they teach, Gina, is very much in line with the way that we do things here on relationship marketing, because it's all about building that relationship with customers and what they call soft sell marketing, so that, again, you're not just cramming stuff down people's throat and screaming links at them and, you know, whatever, getting a frenzy, but really loving your customer. The subtitle to their book is brilliant. It's love your customers and they will love you back, which is just awesome. I am completely thrilled to have Judith and Jim here as our guests, so welcome.
Hello, ladies.
Thank you, yes. And we have two different names that are hard to pronounce, so it's Judith Shervin and Jim Snikowski. We've been married to each other for nearly 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
Isn't that awesome?
That is. My husband and I have been together, it'll be 20 years this year.
Yay. Congratulations.
And it seems like it was yesterday to us. Does it seem like that to you guys too?
Oh, yes. Yes. We look back. Some things seem, you know, a long time ago, and some things seems like they were just yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. It's really weird.
Well, wow.
I have known about you guys for quite some time now, and I am so excited about having you here on this show because Ron is right. We do teach similar things. We have a very similar message.
Good. Well, the world needs more of us helping to change the way people think about commerce, because as everyone listening, I hope, is aware, the current economic downturn all around the world is in large measure the byproduct of an unconscious approach to commerce. To
absolutely.
Bottom-line driven, money, greed. Don't worry about the customer. Don't be concerned about the after effects of the financial dealings that you engage in. Don't worry about how you go about making the sale whatsoever. And then we have all of, just for example, all of these people losing their homes because they should never have been sold into mortgages that they could never afford or being cajoled into refinancing. We have friends who owned their home outright and were persuaded in a hard sell manner to refinance their house, use the refinancing proceeds to invest in apartment buildings, and they've lost all the apartment buildings and very nearly have lost their home.
Oh, no.
Wow. Well, the same thing is happening to my parents, if you can believe that.
Sure.
That they had owned the home outright, too. They've been in the house since 78. They only paid $119,000 for it back then, and it was worth $600,000 2 years ago. Now it's down to around $450,000. The mortgage they redid when it was worth $600,000, and they're about to be in really big trouble, too.
And that's precisely why the idea of a conscious marketplace is so critical, because a conscious marketplace, we use the phrase, you market with consciousness and conscience, and a marketplace that is follows the principle of consciousness and conscience will not allow such a thing to happen, not only for the people who are involved, but for the whole market in general, because when the marketplace works with a sense of respect and care and conscience for its customers, the relationship between the customer, and the buyer and the seller is much better, and it's much better for both sides.
It really is.
Absolutely.
So, what should someone owning a business be looking at today, especially in this economy?
Well, in terms of building their relationship with their customers and building a customer base that is happy to do business with them and who will stay with them for the long term, what Jim and I have coined the phrase is soft sell, love-based marketing. And by love, we don't mean romantic love, not at all, of course not. But what we do mean is that you dig deep into what it means to really care for the people that you want to have do business with you. And that means if you're online, which more and more people are coming online, it's expected. Actually, I just read a report that it's expected that 4.4 billion with a B sales will be made over this holiday period online. Yes, more than ever before. So we have to be really conscious that business is increasingly going to move online, where you're not going to see most of your customers ever face-to-face, but you are going to be communicating in writing, in video, in audio, and you'll want to stay clear about, do you come from a caring place, sincerely, in your heart, or are you just writing rhetoric that you learned in some hard sell copywriting course that taught you how to inflame the fear and dig into the feeling of going without if they don't get your sale right now, and all of that hyperbolic, inflamed marketing that is not respectful and it is not caring.
Most of what's happening in the culture today in terms of politics as well as finance is a product of a self-centered, narcissistic, me first and to hell with you point of view. And as a result, there was a report today that said that before the collapse of Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns on Wall Street, the executives at Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns paid themselves in large quantities and hundreds of millions of dollars. And their shareholders lost out, And the head of Lehman Brothers, a guy named Richard Fuld, says he lays awake every night wondering if he could have done something different. Well, first of all, I think he is reprehensible, and I think there should be some kind of punishment for what that man did and the men like him. However,
and isn't Richard Fuld the one who had a $1,500 wastebasket in his office?
No, that was somebody else.
No.
That was somebody else.
Somebody else,
But nevertheless, there should be some kind of punishment for them. But there's also the point of view that says that they were the epitome of a culture that is all about me making good for number one and not caring for the rest of the community. They also represent a culture that they came out of a culture that does not have a clear sense of community. So as a result, it's all about the individual and the community be damned. And in this case, the community is the community of shareholders as well as employees who are lost. And that particular point of view, I think the point of view of it's me first and I don't care about the rest of you, that particular point of view has brought this country almost to its knees. And that's what Judith and I are working to create, a way of looking at commerce so that that point of view actually subsides and the idea of commerce existing within a community and the community must be taken into consideration as well as the individuals who participate in the community is what Judith and I are partly what we're trying to do.
Uh-huh. But in one other area is, I think a lot of business has turned to the Internet. At least consumers are coming to the Internet. And the small mom-and-pop businesses in the offline world are now suffering because people are choosing to do their business online. And I think we need to find a way to get business put back in the hands of small businesses.
Well, I think, again, this is, you know, we have to understand there's going to be an even balance, hopefully, in the long run. And our experience, and this is just ours, but is that the small businesses that we use here, where we're living here in Las Vegas at this time, is where the people understand customer care from their heart. We wouldn't go elsewhere. We would never take our business elsewhere because it is such a pleasure to do business with people who are deeply committed to the business that they run and to their customers.
Also, when you say that we have to get business back into the hands of mom and pop stores, well, mom and pop stores were mom and pop stores on street corners all around the country. Now, that's certainly going to remain because I don't see that vanishing entirely, but the Internet is where business is going. Like it or not, that's where it's going. And people who set up online, it's no different setting up online than it is on setting up on a street corner. It's still a mom-and-pop business. You just have to learn how to run a business from an Internet perspective as opposed to from the corner store perspective.
Right. Well, and I think the small mom-and-pops that are on the store corners need to have a presence online so that they can compete better. So rather than let's get the business back off the Internet, just bring the small guys online.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that Jim and I created our conferences we call Bridging Heart and Marketing, because what we saw when we came online, and just briefly our background is that we're psychotherapists. We both have PhDs in psychology, and when we came online a little less than 5 years ago, we were coming in as relationship experts because that's our background with married couples and singles around dating issues and so forth. And we were really taken aback by all of the hard, H-A-R-D, hard sell rhetoric being used in the marketing circles. And we would meet people like the two of you at courses and other conferences that we would attend that would, again, because there wasn't any soft sell training around, and we would all find ourselves at lunch or in the hallways saying, you know, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't fit with who we are. And so as we kept moving more into marketing, because we had to do our own copywriting. We couldn't find anybody that wrote copy from the heart, and we started teaching it because we were asked to do so, and we had probably six sets of students, all service providers, all heart-based, caring people like the two of you, saying yes, 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 thank you for showing us a way to market from the heart. And when we started our conferences, because we just gave our Bridging Heart and Marketing number 3, they are dedicated to helping the small business owner, the service provider, people who are not so comfortable with selling or overt marketing, learn a new point of view about it so that they can, with respect for themselves and for their customers, do what we call selling as spiritual service. And it changes the marketer's point of view. It changes how the customer views the whole process. And Jim and I are dedicated to changing marketing online and offline so that that is the point of view that people can enjoy and experience.
Absolutely. And I love how you talk about how marketing can be spiritual service. One of the things that I notice a lot of people struggling with is that there seems to be, and it's probably because of all the hard, H-A-R-D sales stuff that's out there, people struggle with, they think they have to become a different person from who they really are to put on this marketing hat that somehow is different and that it's somehow more aggressive and based rather than coming from the heart and spirit. And I love, I was looking through the chapters of your book a little while ago, and I just loved your thing about, you know, how can marketing be spiritual and how can it really come from the heart?
Thank you, Gina.
Well,
that was fun.
We actually struggled with that problem. When we came into the marketing game, as Judith said, we were psychotherapists. And as a result, we came from a very caring place, particularly caring for our clients. So that was a way of doing good therapy. And when we came into this game, it appeared as though we had to let all of that go because the world of marketing and the world of commerce is so aggressive and so in your face and so oftentimes abusive. And so as a result, we did not feel good about who we were in terms of the change that had to be made. But there's a statement we make in our book, and that is we think that the emotional basis, we assert that the emotional basis, the emotional connection between the buyer and the seller is the most important element of the transaction. And as a result, people say, but you can't have emotion in business. Yes, well, who said? Where is it written that you can't have emotion in business? Now, we're not talking about the intimacy of lovers or the intimacy of a family relationship, but there's an intimacy between a seller and a buyer, and that intimacy is based emotionally. And in that base, then, is the foundation of the connection between the seller and the buyer. And if that isn't brought in, then it's primarily a head trip. And when it's a head trip, even when the sale is successful, it is really not very satisfying.
You know, I met a guy a couple weeks ago. I was at an event called the Speakers and Authors Networking Guild. I met a guy by the name of Garrett White. Garrett had a successful business in the real estate investing arena.
Yeah.
He was doing about $10 million a year.
Uh-huh.
And 3 years ago, within 90 days, his business went from doing $10 million a year to doing literally nothing.
Wow.
And he ended up bankrupt and homeless.
Wow.
Yeah. When this happened, he stepped back and he said, holy cow, what just happened? Why did it happen? And rather than going out and hiring some business consultants who could explain it to him, he did something that most people don't do. He went out and hired a spiritual consultant to help him figure out what happened.
That is true.
And what he realized during that time was he was marketing in a way that was all about him.
Yep.
He wasn't interested in serving anybody. He was interested in just making a buck. And that's why his business totally collapsed in under 90 days.
Wow.
So about 11 months ago, he came out and started putting out a similar message to what you and I have, that you've got to really go out and serve other people, that you really want to follow your profitable passion and put your heart into your business. And he's already up over a seven-figure business in the last 11 months. So it really has made a difference to some people who've been devastated because of the fact that they were not building businesses in the way that you and I are talking about today.
Exactly. And Gina, remind, what is his name?
Garrett White.
Okay, great.
Now, you mentioned that he was at the Speakers and Authors Networking Group. What did he get from that group? What did he learn there?
He really connected with a lot of other people who really are doing business in a way that they are coming from the heart. And I'm actually working with him to help get some joint ventures put together with other people who are coming from this space.
And when
Good.
You say joint ventures about what?
He does seminars every 2 weeks all year long at different places around the U.S. and Canada. And all of his seminars take people up to the point of getting into a business. But then he's looking for people who can take them one step further of, okay, now you know you want a business. You know this is the way you want to run your business. Now here are people who can help you to grow your business. So they're joint ventures with other people who teach that type of thing.
Well, I think the important thing, you know, in terms of the message about his story is that you can very easily lose your business if you are just going after the bottom line. Well, we've seen it over and over again. I mean, Enron was certainly, you know, a dramatic example of that.
Sure.
To his credit, he has realized he needed to, Jim and I talk about using business as spiritual therapy. You know, one of the reasons.
Oh, that's a great thing. That's
yeah,
really awesome.
Well,
say more about that.
Sure. One of the reasons that we wrote our book, The Heart of Marketing, Love Your Customers and They Will Love You Back, was to frame business not just as a money-making enterprise. You know, people understand that part pretty much. They may not know how to do it, but they understand it's a buying and selling enterprise. But what Jim and I didn't realize, because we'd never, before we got involved online, we'd never done any marketing or selling. We'd certainly not been internet tech savvy. But because in our practice, it was unethical to market. The licensing board for my clinical psychology license would have slapped me down if I'd had so much as a ad in the Yellow Pages when I got started in practice. So here we are in online now 4.5 years ago, and we're having to learn the marketing and selling part, but what we're realizing is that in learning about business, we're having to learn a great deal about ourselves, about our own, as much as Jim and I are shrinks to the core and we've had our own therapy and you know done a lot of work on ourselves, there were still pockets of things we had to learn about ourselves. The reason we came up with selling as spiritual service was we had to examine selling from a much deeper point of view than ordinarily gets looked at for our own comfort. And we've had to look at how we relate with our prospective customers in terms of not being able to see them, not having them in our office as clients anymore. But how do we relate to them when we're just using the written word? What do we have to dig down deep inside ourselves and find to open up more fully ourselves to creating that relationship with our prospective buyer?
Judith used the phrase prospective buyer. Well, in the traditional sales language, the prospective buyer is called a prospect. And when you think about the idea of prospect, if I say that you are my prospect or you are a prospect, what I'm really talking about is the advantage that I find in you in terms of you being my prospect. You are my prospect. It is you are there to service me in the prospecting sense. And we have changed that term, and the term we use is prospector. And the reason we use prospector is simple. Because a prospector is someone out there doing something, looking for something, trying to find something, not unlike gold. People who were interested in gold in California, they were prospectors. They had a life of their own, and they were busy doing things in their own right. If I shift from the idea of you are my prospect, which is all about me and what you can do for me, to you are a prospector and we can create a relationship, it's an entirely different frame of reference. That then brings to the transaction a sense of relationship between two human beings instead of me needing you to serve my bottom line purposes.
Absolutely. And this is Rhonda again. Something else that really jumps out to me as I was looking through your book and other materials, when you talk about emotionally connecting people, I teach storytelling to people, and I teach when you share your core story and other stories in a way that emotionally connects, it then, even if you're talking about your own life, it is a shift, because with that emotional connection, you are thinking about the other person. And of course, I also teach from that perspective of service. So, I really appreciate that element. And it's true that emotional connection is really, it's what is going to engage somebody and keep them, you know, wanting to come back to you and really make sure that you're having a relationship as opposed to beating them over the head with sales language, right?
Well, you know, the idea of emotional connection is has been part of standard typical sales for a long time. The phrase, people buy emotionally and justify logically. So what you want to do is find out, what the emotional need is and then go after the emotional need. The problem with that point of view, however, is that it is only about manipulating the emotional need in order for me to get a sale. If I know what your emotional needs are, I can go after them, and in going after them, I can get what I want. Unfortunately, the consequence to you might not be as good as it might be otherwise if I'd actually had an emotional connection with you, respected that emotional connection, and worked from that perspective.
Right. Yeah, and that's the most profitable perspective, because it comes from that place of respect as opposed to, you know, beating them over the head with making them feel scarcity and fear and all those kinds of things.
Right, exactly. And you're quite right, Rhonda. When the seller reveals the story, particularly the core story that prompted them to go forward and create a product. Just for instance, when Jim and I tell the story about how we ended up teaching copywriting, we have a product called Smart Dating for Success Every Time Guaranteed. It is a wonderful program for the mature adult who is looking for a serious relationship. It is not designed for 18-year-olds who are just out having fun. We wanted some copywriting done. We hired somebody he had been writing copy for somebody who taught dance lessons through an online format.
Salsa lessons primarily.
So we thought, well, that was close to, you know, more soft sell kinds of things, but he didn't get it. So here's the story. I mean, here's the kicker of the story is we get this copy back from him, and we have spent hours coaching him about what we're looking for in terms of heartfelt, respectful, kind, caring. And the headline is, you're doing something every night of the week that is screwing up your sex life on Saturday night, and you don't know what it is. Now,
oh, my goodness.
Yes. You're terrorizing your reader.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't shift off of that at all. And we finally just said, you know what? We've got to write our own copy because we tried and it didn't work. And we've just got to take it back and do it ourselves. Well, that story has a whole emotional appeal. You hear that headline and everybody like you just said, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And then we can begin to talk about what it means to write heart-based, caring, respectful, honest, sincere sales copy that is still persuasive, that is still educational, that still speaks to the benefits, the wonderful, juicy benefits of whatever your program is. You certainly don't have to disappear yourself to write heart-based copy.
Right. So you've really started to show some things that have changed in your business, and I think it's very interesting. You talked about coming from a therapeutic background where it's like no marketing, and of course you can't just do it. We put something up online and hope they'll find us. And so as you've learned to, you had to write your own copy, learn how to come from heart and realize what were the good elements that you still need. Like, we still want to talk about what the benefits are, because that does make that good, respectful connection. But what other changes have come up in your own business since you really kind of got the knack of this, developing your own way of selling from the heart?
Well, what we, the most significant change in the business is we recognized that no one was doing teaching and internet conferences with regard to this particular subject. And so what we did is we began to produce Bridging Heart and Marketing, an internet marketing conference that would focus from this perspective. We have done three of them so far. The first two took place in Southern California, and this last one, last October, happened online. It was a virtual conference because the economy precluded people from spending the money. Even though the ticket price was $1,000, but you have to get there by air, and you have to have hotel and food, and it actually begins to be somewhere around a $3,000 weekend.
Mm-hmm.
People could not afford that. So we turned it into something that was virtual, and we had people from all over the world, and we had terrific response. We had people thanking us. We have the best testimonials from those folks, and it turned out to be quite powerful. As a matter of fact, it's 15 hours, 15 sessions,
mm-hmm.
Some an hour long, some an hour and a half long, 15 sessions of internet marketing training, how to, and what we insisted from our speakers is that they give us an outline so we knew what they were going to do, so that they didn't all come on and all sound and talk about the same thing. And we insisted that they actually have some kind of exercise that the people could do while they were listening, so that they could leave with something instead of just sitting there getting more and more information that they don't do anything with. So
Right. It
was extremely successful, and that particular program is still available online. Now, the problem is we are working to turn that into a permanent package, those 15 sessions. We will bring that to the market sometime later in the first of the year. But right now, that program is still available, and it's extremely, extremely affordable. Therefore, for 15 sessions of downloadable MP3 audio file, downloadable information, plus the outlines that the speakers gave us so that the listener can follow along, those are still available, and they're available at tinyurl, that's T-I-N-Y-U-R-L, T-I-N-Y-U-R-L, tinyurl.com/, and the rest of the link is Rhonda Says Yes.
And it's Rhonda, R-O-N-D-A, Says Yes, and the 15 training sessions include everything from list building to article marketing, blogging, promotion and publicity.
How do you find what your customer really wants? As Judith said, blogging, publicity. The biggest mistakes people make coming online. Judith and I have 5 sessions. One of them includes copywriting. Another one is for people who are not familiar with what happens online and are just beginning. We have the first session is
the beginner's bonus.
The beginner's bonus. We did a bonus session for people who were beginners, so that we did it at the very beginning of the conference, so that they would then have a better basis for listening to the rest of the conference. We also did our keynote, which was called Extend the Prayer, because when you do your work from a heart-based, love-based perspective, it's like your work every day is like saying a prayer. And when you actually do that successfully, people come into contact with you and you affect their lives, then the prayer extends, and then they extend the prayer, and they extend the prayer. It's like ripples in a pond.
And we had a remarkable teaching by Andrew Collier, who is a chiropractor, and he taught how to use muscle testing. Do you guys know about muscle testing? Kinesiology?
I think you would.
And how do you?
I don't know about. I think you do.
Well, how to use it to test websites and web copy and book titles? Because Mark Victor Hansen and Jack Canfield used it to test every single one of their book covers for the Chicken Soul the Chicken Soup for the Soul series.
Wow.
And so there's a whole demonstration on how to use muscle testing to make sure you're not putting a website out there that turns people off and sends them away because the energetic off of your website is negative.
Now, you both know, since you are familiar with what goes on online, some of the prices for these courses and conferences. Listen to this. 15 sessions, most 90 minutes, some 60 minutes, with all of that content and also the opportunity to actually do exercises so you can actually get something done. And the downloadable version is just $197. That's an extraordinary price. Extraordinary.
Yeah,
and if you want the CD version, in other words, what we're packaging to send to your home, that's $297. Now, those are the prices we used for the live conference. Those prices will go up when we actually put all this together and create a whole package out of it. But for right now, if people go to tinyurl.com/Rhonda, R-O-N-D-A, Rhonda says yes, they can get this package, except I have to make one point here, and that is that since we have not yet converted it, since we have not yet converted it to a final package, when people get there, it will say the dates of the conference. And the dates of the conference were October 8th through the 18th. So that's over. But that doesn't mean that the product is not available. You can still register and get the downloadable version for $197 or the CD version for $297. And you can get that still. And you can get all of that at those prices before we take those prices up. So we really urge your listeners to take advantage of this.
Oh, absolutely. www.tinyurl.com/Rhonda, R-O-N-D-A, says yes. Thank you so much for making that offer to my listeners. I really appreciate that.
Well,
it's our pleasure.
And it's an amazing lineup of... Of course, I, you know, read the whole page and everything, an amazing lineup of people, and some of them I have met personally and some I haven't, but just really fabulous. And I love that you're giving people not just let's go and be pitched at for session after session, but really giving content, which is terrific, with the activities that people can put into action. And I think that's the one biggest thing. Well, there's a lot of things that people can do, wrong or do it in not as good of a way as they might. And one of them is just to keep soaking in information and looking here and looking there and never really taking action on whatever, you know, whatever
right.
It is. Like if you pick up one terrific thing from today's radio show and you go, wow, I want to try this approach or try this out or, you know, look again at my sales page and see where I'm beating people over the head and change it or whatever. If you feel that, then please, you know, take action and do it rather than just continuing to gather information. I know somebody who has said for 4 years that she has wanted to start doing some business online, and she's still listening, reading, and taking notes, and listening and reading and taking notes, and listening and reading and taking notes.
And spending a lot of money to get those listenings, because none of those listenings are free. I mean, you can certainly get stuff, but most of the time when you buy stuff online, they are not inexpensive. And so a lot of people spend a lot of money, and then they have their the products and the teachings up on their bookshelf, and they don't do anything with them. And that's really, really sad. I once went to a conference, Judith and I were there together, where a woman, and she was an elderly woman, she had to have been at least in her 60s. She's not elderly. She was in her 60s. And the reason I say she's not elderly is Judith and I are in our 60s, and we certainly are not what I would consider.
No, you're not.
No, we're not.
However, she spent at that one conference. At that one conference, she bought product after product. She had the money to do it. She spent about $10,000 at that one conference.
Oh, Jim, I have a student who's 78 years old who has spent over $125,000 buying product after product after product after product.
And not doing anything with it or not being able to do anything with it, I'm assuming.
She's tried to do things with it, but nothing has ever really worked.
Well, let me just give everyone listening a real clue. and it is as critical, and it's a clue that Judith and I did not do, and we learned by trial and error and frustration and expense. And the clue is, pick one thing. You can buy somebody's product, you pick that one thing, and then what you do is you execute it until you can actually get it to make money for you. If that's not the case, then what you're doing is you're spinning your wheels in some kind of illusion that is only going to continue to cost you more and more money, and that is the wrong thing to do. And the reason I'm saying it is Judith and I did that.
Well, and one of the reasons that we're so pleased with the 15-session collection that is Bridging Heart Marketing 3 is that all of the trainings are basic, they're all actionable, they all support one another, meaning the trainings support the other trainings. Tracy Repchuk's presentation on list building starts with how to create your opt-in page so that she, in her free, well, it's not free, you have to buy the conference to get it, but it's so inexpensive, she walks you through the basic elements of an opt-in page, meaning the page where people give their name and their email address to join your list so that you can promote to them in the future. And she walks people through all of the details of growing your list in these fundamental ways that anybody can get started right now.
There's another point.
She's really good at that. Looking at the sales page that is at www.tinyurl.com/Rhonda says yes. Even just looking at that one page, it's an education in and of itself. Look at the elements. Above the video, there's a line that reads, we have a whole lot to tell you on this page. But before you start reading, take this moment and play the video just below. We'll introduce ourselves and set the tone for what our soft sell, heart-based virtual conference is all about. You don't see people putting videos on their pages that have a message like that above it. This is an education in and of itself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gina.
And there's something critical about taking action. Action and action taking is a very deep spiritual decision and choice. Now, it may not seem so on the surface. You go just go out and do this and do that. But when you take an action and when you commit to taking action, you are committing to putting yourself out into the world in one form or another. Now, one can just look at that from a superficial perspective and say that all you're doing is communicating your message to get somebody to buy your product, and that's true. You're doing that. But what you are really doing is you're joining the human community. You are expressing yourself. If you're open and really open, you can be actually even channeling some kind of sensitivity to the need of a particular community, like your niche, and you are standing and putting yourself out with visibility and identifiability so that the people out there who need you and who need what you have to offer can actually identify, see you, recognize you, identify with you, and make the connection. And from my perspective, it is in that identification that the sale is made. Now, you can screw it up later and lose it, but when I identify with you, that is where the connection is made. And then on that identification is built the long-term relationship. And without action, nothing happens. Nothing is possible. Nothing exists. Action and action taking, even if you don't do it well, and even if you make mistakes and have to do it again, you are making a commitment to invest in the whole of the universe, let alone your own life. And that's really profound.
It absolutely is. Well, I'm just going through the page myself, and my goodness, you guys have some of my best friends on this page, people that I've shared the stage with. These guys are really the tops in their field, and it is everything that you would need to get started if you take action on it.
That's right.
Correct.
That's exactly right.
No action, no life.
You got it.
And we're so thrilled that the people who have taken advantage of this conference span such a diverse collection of service-based professional activities, from interior design to accountancy. We wouldn't think of accounting necessarily, you know, in the heart-based soft sell. And yet, you know, if you're involved in accounting, you're dealing with people's money, their taxes, their relationship with their government, and so one of the people who registered from Australia has an accountancy background and is doing an online business around accounting. So the program, the Bridging Heart and Marketing training series, is perfect for anyone, and including people offline. Well, we had a gal register from Montana who did not want to be online. She has a beauty parlor in a small town in Montana, but she also has a lot of other kinds of services in terms of color. She works with people doing a color analysis and so forth. She didn't know how to market it, and so we put together a bonus. It's a 10-point bonus for how to use the trainings offline for people who want to do that as well, and she was just thrilled.
Awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
If you can't we're having fun doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I can tell. You know what's fun? What's really fun, and Gina, if I may, I want to highlight for your listeners in particular, a lot of times, Judith and Jim, on the show, Gina and I have talked about having the voice of the expert and finding your voice and, you know, coming from that place of complete consistency. You definitely hear it as you listen to Judith and Jim, don't you?
You sure do. You sure do.
There is no doubt in your mind as you listen to both Judith and Jim speak that, number one, they're passionate about what they do and they love what they do, and number two, they definitely know their stuff and they're not afraid or shrinking back and going, oh, well, I guess I could talk to you about soft selling. You're not coming across like wimps in any way, shape, or form, but with great passion, emotion, certainty, and that quiet confidence, not in any way overbearing, but just that great feeling. And that's really important. It's something that any entrepreneur, you'll want to develop in your own business. And as you give yourself that permission to speak what you know and to step into that place, it really, truly does wonders for your business. And just because of past shows and conversations and, you know, places where we all know that people tend to trip up and have difficulties when they're starting, is that whole notion of really finding your voice, speaking your truth. My personal opinion is that as you start to think about your business and marketing as something that comes from your heart and spirit and not something that you do that's outside of you, like we do list building and we do marketing and whatever, but when it truly comes from the core of who you are and it's consistent, it's something that you love and your particular God-given or natural-given gifts are used, there is that sense of a certainty and really getting that message across.
You are absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. Business business is an endeavor of self-expression. Yes, it is about creating product and generating money and extending your assistance out into the world, but it is about self-expression. You have to understand that. We have a phrase, and that is you can build your business as you grow yourself. If your business will not grow unless yourself grows. If a typical example are people who hit the lotto and then lose it all within a couple of years and are miserable. And why? Because the self is not sufficiently developed to handle that entire income and what it is that's coming in. So as a result, when you grow yourself and as you develop your business, it necessarily forces you to grow yourself. That's why we say that marketing and selling is very deep therapy if you understand what's going on. So, and then the other point is we've got 5 books on the market, and the one you all are mentioning is the Heart of Marketing: Love Your Customers and You Will Love Yourself. The most important.
Love your customers and they will love you back.
And you will love yourself as well.
But that's not the subtitle.
That's not the subtitle. Love your customers.
No.
But in this particular point of view, love your customers and you will love yourself, because you cannot love your customers without it, and you cannot love yourself without loving your customers. It is a community situation. It is a community relationship. And the point I was wanting to make is that when you understand that, you begin to find your voice. An author is only an author and recognized as an author when they have a voice, when they come from a unique perspective, and they are saying something that one can identify them by. Like, for example, Ernest Hemingway. When you pick up a Hemingway book, you don't even know who the author is. But if you know anything about Hemingway in general, you can identify that this is clearly Hemingway because this is his voice. And people don't talk about voice in marketing, but it's the same thing. People in marketing talk about PSP, the personal, the USP, the unique selling proposition. Well, the unique selling proposition, another way to say that is your voice. We don't use the word unique selling proposition phrase. We use the phrase personal selling proposition, PSP, because that makes it personal to you. But finding your voice is really, really critical.
Absolutely.
It really is. You know, I will be in Vegas later today. We have been on a 2.5-week cross-country road trip with my in-laws for the last couple of weeks, and we're leaving Holbrook, Arizona, which is just east of Flagstaff, in a little while, headed for Vegas, where we will be for probably the next 3 or 4 weeks. We will have to make arrangements to connect while I am there.
And you're going to do what while you're here?
I have a workshop that I am doing December 10th in Vegas on joint ventures and how to organize joint ventures as a living. Then I have some meetings this week with a couple of people in Vegas. And for the most part, I'm just going to be hanging out with my family who's going to be in Vegas.
Where does your family live in Vegas in general?
They live on the east side of the strip out near Sam's Town.
Okay. We're at the other end of town. We're west of the strip by about 9 miles.
Okay. Hmm. Well, we've got a car with us. We've got our motorhome with us, so we can get around anywhere we need to go. We'll have to make arrangements to connect.
It would be fun. You're doing a workshop. When is that? Are you doing it alone or with someone?
I am doing it on Thursday, December the 10th, the workshop is being put out by the JV University, and the JV University is co-founded by me, my partner Sahail Khan from the UK, my good friend Willie Crawford, and my good friend David Preston. So it's the four of us putting the workshop on.
Oh, that's marvelous. And where are you going to be putting it on?
The workshop will be at the Golden Nugget, which is in downtown Vegas on Fremont Street.
That's right.
It'll be from 8:30 till 6 that day. And watch the blog on thejvuniversity.com in the next 2 days for instructions on how to get access to the workshop. For both of you, I'd love to have you there as my guest.
Well, we would love to take you up on that.
Thank you.
We would very much love to take you up. That's the 10th. I'm actually going to check the calendar as we're talking to see what our situation is like on the 10th. And what time does it start?
It starts at 8:30 in the morning, goes till 6 o'clock at night.
That's marvelous. It's a Thursday. Well, let us talk.
We will be in touch with you.
Yes, let's be in touch off air, and we can arrange for that.
And Rhonda will be there as well, so Rhonda's going to be doing a little thing for people on how to create what I call the story of you, meaning your story as an expert. So it's going to be an exciting workshop.
Well, thank you for the invitation. It sounds like we're able to take you up on that and look forward to meeting both of you in person, and certainly want to encourage, if I may, anyone listening who finds this appropriate for them to make sure they attend.
And it's very much what we've been talking about on this show today. The JV University has a program that teaches folks how to become JV brokers, but we don't even call them JV brokers because even the name suggests something that is not heart-based marketing.
Uh-huh.
We call our students JV facilitators.
Right.
A facilitator is much more someone who's really out there working from the heart. And more than anything, helping their clients to work from that same place.
Right.
Go ahead, Judith.
Well, Gina, I just thought it's probably more appropriate to say that they're JV matchmakers.
That's a great term for them.
You know,
but
it really is. I like that.
Our students are people who do much more than just the matchmaking. back when I was still organizing JVs for other people before I retired a couple years ago, I found that if all I did was do the connecting of people, my JVs were not necessarily that successful. And because my income depended on the success of the JV, I was paid a percentage of gross sales.
Right.
It had to be something that really I was involved in as much of it as I could be so that I could make more money. And what I ended up starting to do was I was much more of a facilitator and a consultant than anything else. And I ended up teaching my clients what it meant to work from the heart and what it meant to serve people rather than sell people, so that I could shift the whole shape of the promotion
right.
from one that was very much selling to one that was very much serving. And as I did that, gross sales increased, my income increased, my clients found a new way to do business, and in the end, not only did we make a bigger difference for people, my clients made more money too. And that's what we're teaching folks through the JV University, is how do you go out and help your clients do this? And then we also provide services that our clients, that our students are doing for folks who are interested in having JVs organized for them.
You know, barring any kind of unforeseen possibility between now and the 10th, I am really looking forward to meeting you.
Well, good. I can't wait.
Yeah. And the event sounds really exciting. And you know, we will look forward to participating as fully as we can, because we've certainly done some JV events that didn't work and some that worked beautifully. And we know what, you know, some of the qualities of what made the difference.
And we chose the term workshop for it as opposed to seminar because
yeah.
we really want this day to be about the doing and the results as opposed to just sitting back and learning.
Great.
So the whole schedule for the day is set up in that way. We've got
a section on learning
and a section on doing, and then a section on learning and then another section on doing, so that by the end of the day, people can actually get results.
You know, when you say instead of just sitting and learning, there's a real illusion there. Because, and if you just think back on the time you were in high school or maybe college, the fact of the matter is that when you just sit and listen, all you really are is like a dump for information.
Right.
And the illusion is you think you have actually gained something when, in fact, you've gained very little because you don't know what to do with it.
Yep.
And I know for myself, if I'm not able to do something with what I'm learning, I pretty quickly become overwhelmed. I don't know what the priorities are. And when I leave the event, then I'm sort of like stymied for where do I start, what should I be doing. And I'm so excited, getting more excited about meeting you all and attending this event. And it was much like Bridging Heart and Marketing 3. We were so pleased that every single, and you never know, you know, when you've got speakers coming to do your event and you know them to some degree, but you never quite know what they're going to say. But it was such a pleasure, event after training event, to across the room, Jim and I would give each other the thumbs up, you know, that this was an interactive doing event instead of a passive just listen and
listen event.
Yeah. So.
And all the speakers that you had in Bridging Heart and Marketing 3, I know all but one of them personally. And they're all people who are very focused on helping folks get results as opposed to just dumping
right.
more information into
right.
them.
Which of them do you don't know? I'm just curious.
Let me go back and look.
Probably Andrew.
Andrew Collier?
Yep, that's the one I didn't know.
He's our chiropractor friend. And he's the one who can show you how to use muscle testing to test the energetic impact, the unconscious energetic impact of your sales page before you even get to the text of the sales page, just the graphic.
I really want you guys to hook me up to meet him. He sounds like a neat guy.
Yeah,
happy to.
We'll talk on the 10th.
And he does
okay,
a good presentation,
great.
And he's new to the speaking scene, but he's done a lot of training, and he's a good speaker. So we are very, and he's a good guy, and so we're happy to introduce him to you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And every other one of the speakers I know personally. So
yay!
Oh, good.
I can really vouch for these folks being really people you really want to learn from. Jeff Herring and I just showed the stage about a month and a half ago. Even some of them are, Joe Lublin is a former client of mine, so I do know many of them. Mark Widower is someone that I've worked with in a couple of joint ventures before.
Well, this is,
because
this
did a great job of putting together a group of people, and Adam Urbanski was just a guest on the show, what, 6 weeks ago or so, Rhonda?
2 weeks ago, yeah, he was, that's right.
He is. We were just to his weekend.
I heard it was great.
It was really good.
It was, from my perspective, it was the best. The best. And we have taken a number of them. Now, there are two ways of understanding why it was the best. Either we have progressed well enough and far enough along so that we could actually take the value that was there and characterize it as the best, or it was simply the best. I don't know for which. I mean, if we had taken Adam's weekend when we very first got started, who knows what our response would be. But right now, from my perspective, it's the best.
But he's not doing that particular weekend any longer.
Yeah,
it's only available virtually.
Wow.
Yeah, he's changing some of the things that he's doing, but we're delighted that he was a guest of yours.
He was, and really, really neat guy. In what I teach, I don't teach tactics as much as I teach strategies.
Yes.
The why behind the how.
Right.
And that's a lot of what Adam tends to do, too, is more the why behind the how.
Actually, at this event, he does both. He gives you the why, but then he very clearly gives you the how.
See, that would be just phenomenal, because so many times you get to events and they don't give you the why. They just tell you the how. And without the why, you can't really modify it to make it your own and make it work for you in the way that you want it to work.
Precisely.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Precisely.
You really want both. You really want both. You need to know the why, and you need to know the specifics, because too much why with not enough how gives you going, yeah, I understand, but I don't know how to put it in practice, and then too much how without...
That kind of understanding, yeah, and a buck and a half won't get you coffee at Starbucks.
Exactly.
And he
and
does
so
a really...
really...
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I
say that Ed, and that during his presentation, during Bridging Heart and Marketing 3, he gives both. And he got a lot of great feedback from people calling in and saying that they were really appreciative of him not just talking about you want to make more money by having higher-priced coaching programs as part of your online business, but he really covered that whole range of, you know, how and why, so that people got a real good feel for his specialty, and also really advanced people's consciousness about, you know, as after they've developed themselves online for a bit, that they will want to expand and have larger programs and you know, more intimate, private kinds of coaching programs where they can charge higher dollar amounts in integrity from the heart and, you know, again, not just to get the money, but to provide that kind of more immediate and private service. So it's a presentation that very well represents Adam and is in service to everybody who needs some mind expanding around making money, because certainly we know that service providers have, and spiritually oriented service providers especially, have a difficult time wrestling with the whole issue of charging for what they do and charging big money for what they do, as well as accruing, even accruing wealth. So we were really delighted that Adam was part of our faculty. And I would just want to
talk about that concept just for a little bit here, because it is a big issue.
I really hear this
so often. Well, I don't have anything of value to give. Well, if you don't have anything of value to give in the first place, why are you in a business? I mean, really, that's kind of a big bone of contention with me. I think everybody has something of value to contribute, and it takes some mindset shifting around that to understand that you do have something of value and that it's okay to charge for it.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's where we came up. See, Judith and I had that same issue. We came from a basic, an industry that was fundamentally a referral industry. And at the time, particularly when Judith got her license, if one of you referred, like say if Rhonda, you referred to me someone, and I gave you a commission for it, or I just took you out to lunch and bought you lunch, but it was explicitly bought as a way of saying thank you for the referral, that was considered unethical. So, first of all, you couldn't do that. And then, secondly, there was no marketing and there was no selling. So it was all word of mouth, and the only selling that went on was when you came to my office and you liked the work that we did in that first session that we have together, then you will continue or you won't. So when we got into marketing, we did not have an idea of how to market or sell, and where we both came from. Judith's father, who was a brilliant man, but he was stuck in a very, very battered psyche. He sold cars all his life. He was literally the used car salesman.
Oh, that sounds like my husband.
Oh. but did your husband love selling cars?
He did.
Yeah,
that's
the
difference.
Judith's father hated every moment of it because he was really an artist, but he never got there. But the point is, so Judith's household was all about horrible selling is of the devil. I come from Polish Catholic Southwest Detroit, where I would watch the insurance man show up and sit and talk with my mother and then leave, and they would curse him. They would literally curse him because he was selling. And so selling, Judith and I came from selling, not as spiritual service, but selling as an activity of the devil. And so
that's a very different perspective, isn't it?
Well, isn't it ever? Yeah. Now, let me tell you how this all came to be, because what happened was that we did Alex Mendozian's first teleseminar secrets course. And long and short of it, too many details to tell you the whole story in this time, but we ended up doing a teleseminar with him, and he was selling his product, Teleseminar Secrets, to our list. And in the middle of the call, he said, for those of you who buy tonight, Judith and Jim will give you a 12-month, 2 hours per month, Teleseminar Secrets coaching program, and they will coach you how to use Teleseminar Secrets. And, ladies, he never told us he was going to do that.
Oh, no.
So we're sitting there.
Wow.
We're sitting there looking at each other saying, what do we do now? And understand that we had never been in marketing or selling. And this was the first time we ever got involved. And so what happens is we have to say, we say yes. And now we're Teleseminar Secrets coaches. So we, both Judith and I are academics, and as a result, we really, really know how to study. We've both got PhDs, so one of the things I'm really good at is studying.
Right.
I dove into his material so deeply, and we were actually doing, and we actually have now an eight CD, it's not a CD, it's a downloadable, 8 MP3 course called The Psychology of Teleseminars. And so what happened is I'm sitting in the tub one night reading this material, and the next session that we have to coach is about selling. And I think, oh, my God, I hate selling. How am I going to be a coach to people about selling? And I hate selling. And I know Judith does the same thing. What are we going to do here? So what I did was I just slowly sunk into a meditation. And I thought, okay, what is selling really? And the conclusion I came to was this. On this planet and in this life, we are all interdependent. We all depend upon one another one way or another. And we are all co-creating this experience together, which means we all need each other. So if you have a problem and I have a solution, it is my moral obligation in the context of our interdependent, co-creative needing each other, it is my moral obligation to market and let you know that I have that product because you have a need. And then when you come to my store, my virtual or literal brick-and-mortar store, when you come to my store, what it is my moral obligation to sell you that product. Now, you may not buy it, but at least I need to take you through my sales presentation because we are dependent upon one another. And I don't mean this just from a quid pro quo in the sense that when I have a need, when I have a solution, I have to market it because someday you'll have a solution that you should market because I have a need. I don't mean it that way. I mean it in a much deeper sense that we are all doing this together. We really need each other. There is a profound sense of community here, and the community can't function without all of us doing this together. And it was at that moment that I realized that selling really is a spiritual service. And it was then that I got out of the tub and I went into Judith's office and I told her about this, and her eyes lit up, and we were freed at that point to be able to sell. That didn't mean we had good technique, but we at least the door was open for the possibility of us to say selling is not of the devil, is actually quite a noble and moral event.
What a service Alex did to you by doing that.
Absolutely, total service. Except in the moment, of course, we thought, my God, what the hell is he doing? He's never told us about this. We're not prepared for this. But we jumped in and did it anyway, and it was
huge. You're going to fall.
Pardon?
I'm sorry, my dog just climbed up on this stack of pillows about 10 pillows high, and I'm like, he's going to fall. I don't know why my dog likes pillows, but he actually just spent most of this show stacking up 10 pillows so that he could jump on the top of them.
So that's how we got to selling a spiritual service.
That is really a neat story, Jim.
Yeah,
and
like what you just said, how the service he provided us without us even being aware of it.
Right, right. And I bet at the time you were just appalled by the fact that he was doing this to you. How can he do this to me?
And not only that.
What a service.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but what kind of hard sell tactic is this? If you buy tonight, you're going to get this free bonus, yada, yada, yada. These people are going to give it to you, and you got to buy tonight, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, my God, what kind of world did we enter into? But we were committed, so we did it, and look what it did for us.
Uh-huh. And you know, it says a lot about Alex. He's so insightful to even know that was what was needed to get you guys to the place that you are today.
Yes, exactly.
You know, Alex is just one of those people that can pick up on that, and that says a lot about him, too.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
So often when we are coaching others, we do see a different part of them than they do see themselves.
Absolutely.
And I think as coaches, it's up to us, just like what you just said, that if we are all co-creating, we have a moral obligation to help people get to the solution.
Right.
It's the same as we go through life and we're working with other people. Even if you don't call yourself a coach, as you work with your prospects, you're going to see the needs that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really come at them from the place that you happen to be to explain that need, because they won't understand that they have that need.
Right.
They're coming from a different place.
Right.
Instead, you need to meet them with what they know they want and use your higher end program to show them that need that you are seeing that they happen to be missing.
You know, that's really true, because the cliche, you know, and it's really not, well, it's a cliche because it's so true, and that is, you give people what they want before you give them what they need, because they
exactly.
may not know what they need, but at least they'll come through your door if you give them what they want, and then you can
yeah.
take them to where you want to take them.
Exactly, and that really is the heart of what I teach.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
See, this is why you guys are such a great match. You know, Gina and I discovered we have such a similar approach. It's very fits together beautifully, and what you folks teach as well, because it's all about really coming from that place of serving. And of course, yes, you do give people what they want first and then what they really need, and by that you really truly are serving them well, because they don't know what they need. But that's not done in a you just are too stupid to know what you need type of space. It's really just a place of learning and respecting.
Right, exactly.
And certainly in this whole online marketing realm, and offline too, to some large degree, but here we're talking a bit more about online marketing, there are so many elements of business that don't get covered in, well, certainly don't get covered in an MBA course. We've been told many times that, for instance, what people learned by attending Bridging Heart and Marketing 3 was far better than anything they learned in their own MBA course from people who actually have MBAs.
Even in PhD programs, they don't cover that stuff.
They really don't. They don't cover any business. When I got my PhD in psychology, not 1 second was spent on building a practice, on filing insurance, on dealing
right.
with malpractice. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Zero. But so, like, for instance, Jim and I a year ago created what we call the Soft Sell Marketers Association, and it's a membership program, and we do a weekly training. Sometimes it's a guest expert. Sometimes mostly it's us. And today, well, it's tomorrow rather, we're going to be training in customer service. Well, we've never seen a program anywhere that trains in customer service, and why are we doing it? Because we've had to develop our own ways
mm-hmm.
with a virtual assistant and with our own input in certain instances of how to do it in a way that we really think speaks from the heart and not just like some of the more hard sell people where we run into customer service that, well, I mean, literally, I was told by somebody that's part of a big deal hard sell guy, I can't handle that for you. It's not my department. And I said,
it wouldn't help you find the right department or get hooked up with the right person or anything.
Anything. And I said, well, quite frankly, I've already left 3 messages on your machine that claim somebody's going to call me back in 24 hours. Nobody's ever called me back. This is my 4th phone call, and I'm not going to accept that. You have to get me to somebody. And he reluctantly took my information, and 2 days later, an ice cube of a woman called me up to take care of it, and I felt like saying, if you worked for us, you'd be fired yesterday. There was no heart, no apology, no care. It was shocking. So Jim and I have felt like, well, customer care needs to be trained so that people have an acute awareness that it's not just a matter of dealing with somebody who needs a refund or somebody who can't find how to download something. It again comes from the heart and needs to address what the people are really needing.
I recently had an issue come up with PayPal. So often you hear about PayPal as being the bad guys who shut everybody's accounts down. Well, we had a very different set of transactions happening over about a 60-day period than we normally did. And for PayPal, that looked like it was abnormal business activity. So they basically kind of froze the account for a couple of days while they investigated it. And they kept having the underwriting department and the risk management department send us letters and make phone calls to us. And their concern was that if we had all of this additional business coming in, are they going to be in a bad position because of chargebacks and refunds?
Wow.
And basically over about a 72-hour period, I must have talked to about 8 different individuals within PayPal. And I said, look at the account historically. I was one of the first people to start using PayPal way back when because I've been online since 1997.
Wow.
It was one of the first merchant accounts that I had was PayPal. And I said, if you look at the account historically, in the last 14 months, we had 1 refund and 1 chargeback. It wasn't because we weren't doing business. We had plenty of business there. Why do we have such low refunds and such low chargebacks? It has everything to do with how we handle customer service in this company.
Right, right.
When someone would come to us wanting a refund, and this is how we handle it today, the first thing we do is explore why that refund is there in the first place. What's wrong? If there's someone wanting a refund, we fell down on the job in serving them, and that's really how I look at it.
Right.
And rather than simply just issue the refund and let the customer walk away, I believe that it is a moral obligation on our part to sit down and really serve that person to the best of our abilities. And so that means first figuring out what needs that particular customer really has, and then looking at, is that product going to serve them, or is there something else we could do to serve them? More often than not, it ends up meaning that the product they bought was simply not the right product for them, that they really needed another product and they just didn't realize it. And so rather than just issue a refund, we give them a product that would really serve them best.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if that means access to a coaching program, we're going to give them the thing that serves them best. And for most of our refunds, it ends up meaning that they need to talk to someone one-on-one to discover their needs. And if that's the case, great. They're going to talk to me or one of my coaches.
You know, what's interesting is that a lot of people in the hard, H-A-R-D, sale point of view would say that what you're really doing is just trying to save the sale so that you can keep the cash in your bank. But you're not saying that. You're saying something.
No, not at all.
You know, you're saying that, in fact, that approach that you take is there to truly serve the best need of the client, not just keep the cash in your register. And that's really admirable.
And actually, better than 80% of my high-end clients started out as refunds for something that I had originally sold to them.
Isn't that
that's kind
great.
Of funny, isn't it?
I love it. A refund of $27 product.
Yes. That's what happens when you come from a place of serving as opposed to a place of selling.
Right.
What do we have time? I'm not in front of a clock. Do I have time to tell how we met Kathy Perkins?
You sure do.
Yeah.
You got about 9 minutes.
Kathy, it was our speaker trainer about blogging for Bridging Heart Marketing 3. And about 3.5 years ago, we didn't know her then at all. She purchased a program from us. And within a few days, asked for a refund through email. And I thought, how strange. And on impulse, I sent an email back personally, and I said, can I get a phone call with you? And she says later that she was shocked to be asked for that and said yes. And so we got on the phone, and I said, what's the problem? And she said, well, you've got a couple bonus. I like the program, but there are a couple bonuses here that don't apply to my life at all. And they're about relationships, and I'm divorced, and I'm not looking for any relationships, and I don't want that. And I said, but you like the program itself, which was a program called Breaking Through Resistance. And she said, oh, that's fine. I'm looking forward to that. If you can make this, she didn't even say that. If you can, she didn't. She just said, I don't like the bonuses. And I said, well, what if I replace the bonuses? Let's talk about what else we could provide that would replace those bonuses and be in keeping with what you want. So we reviewed that. We came up with a couple of different bonuses. She said, that's fine. I'm dandy. I'm really happy. Well, within the next three sentences, somehow she said something about blogging. Jim and I needed a blog. We are not techie people at all. We knew we couldn't put up a blog ourselves. And by the end of the phone call, we'd hired her to be our blog mistress and create our blog for us.
Oh,
isn't that a great story?
This is exactly what I mean by really coming from a place of serving when you're dealing with refunds.
Exactly.
Exactly what I'm saying.
Yep, exactly. So we always tell that story when we introduce her, you know, if she's going to be speaking or training for us, because it sets the stage for this kind of community that we all share here in the business world. And if we can remember that we are community and that we are one world and come from a deep concern for one another, the buyer too. I mean, you know, there are certainly buyers that need more consciousness about you don't get to be abusive about the sellers. That's not nice.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in defense of the buyers, because there are so many people out there using the hard sell approach, they are trained to become cynical as buyers.
True, true.
When you think about the phrase, buyer beware.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking about it, and I'm saying, what kind of culture does this represent?
See, that's what I'm saying.
Buyer has to beware.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
How come it's not seller beware? And either way, seller or buyer beware, neither one of them is satisfactory because it implies there's some deceit and deviousness going on. And, of course, people will be protective and cynical. Oh, my God, here comes another sales guy. All he really wants is my wallet, blah, 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 which is the kind of environment I grew up in where they, as I said before, they thought selling was of the devil. And it is actually quite the contrary. It is an extremely noble profession.
Mm-hmm. That's such a great way to look at it. Such a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the byproduct of really serving your customers is that the customers that have come to me for refunds that we have then served, they end up becoming people that tell everybody that they know
Absolutely.
About me and what I do. Not because they want an affiliate commission or a referral fee, but because they are so genuinely excited by the opportunities that it then presents.
Right. And because they were well cared for, really
yeah.
well cared for. You
yeah.
know, and I don't mean cared for in the purely commercial sense, that the, you know, you show them your options and you help them choose some. They were cared for as human beings. And that's far
right.
deeper and far richer than simply somebody saying, oh, well, I got a good service there. That's more important.
And to me, that's true viral marketing. That
right.
is what word-of-mouth marketing is all about. It's not about the hypey, gimmicky YouTube videos that you put up. It's not about some hype-filled sales letter that you put out. It's about caring for people because they are human beings and you have a solution to their problem.
Right.
And if you then put them out in the world to just live their life, it will cause word-of-mouth marketing to happen naturally.
Right.
And you said about 10 minutes ago that you retired. Is that still the case?
I retired from brokering joint ventures for other people.
Uh-huh.
Because at the time, I really was very, what's a good word for it, disheartened by the clients that I was serving who did not really understand what relationship marketing was all about.
Uh-huh.
And they were really there for just making a buck and looking out for themselves
right.
more so than being out there serving other people. And I felt that I had an obligation to go out and share this message of what relationship marketing is all about with other people. And that I could make a bigger difference in this world by putting that message out there than by continuing to work with more people who were so interested in making a buck and worrying about themselves.
Good
you know,
for
I want to extend my respect and admiration to you.
Yes.
Because you know, and I know, given what we do, I know how difficult that can be when the entire environment is working in a different direction. When the entire
right.
environment, well, not entire environment, but a large part of the environment is working in the direction of actually serving themselves instead of serving the person they're serving. And so I want to admire your courage and your bravery and your leadership.
Well, thank you. At the time, though, it was in a way self-serving. I had been very ill. I started my business as a result of my illness. I spent 10 years in a hospital bed and wheelchair. I had more than $9.9 million worth of medical bills during that time. And the doctors told me I had 12 to 18 months to live. When I learned that, I went out on this journey to look for some way of seeing the world and hopefully just living the last 12 to 18 months in the best way possible. And 6 months into the trip, a massage therapist told me that if I could do things differently and remove the negativity from my life, I wouldn't die as soon as I thought. And it was coming from this place that I came to the realization that one of the areas of negativity that I had in my life was all of these clients that were interested in working only for themselves. And
right.
so I shifted everything in my life. Even going so far as to tell my mother goodbye because she was one of my sources of negativity.
Ah.
And coming out of that, as I made this transition, in a 4.5 month period, I stopped 42 pills per day, 4 continuous IVs per day. I went from a wheelchair to a walker to walking with a cane to walking with no assistance,
wow.
even though to this day I have no feeling in my legs and feet. I walk without assistance. By the end of that 4.5 months, not only was I no longer dying, I was 100% well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from yes, and it was from that experience that I knew I had to stop brokering joint ventures for
right.
all of these other people and to move into a more positive arena. one that could really leave me living a life filled with abundant positivity, something that I could be passionate about, but that was very positive in the end, not a very negative experience. And I believe that that was in part what helped to save my life. This was 3.5 years ago,
right.
And today I am still totally well.
What a story that you have to,
yep.
Well, and you do obviously use your story to inspire people.
I do. Mm-hmm. I very much do.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So we're pretty much out of time on the show, and I continue to tell that story even though we ran over because I thought it was one that was important for our listeners to hear.
Yes.
And I don't think enough people recognize that that is truly what caused me to come out of brokering and move into this new space of coaching and mentoring.
Well, congratulations to you for being a wonderful role model for everyone who needs to hear the power of changing their lifestyle into positivity and love and away from
mm-hmm.
negativity. I mean, I'm just in awe of what you just told us.
And the message that you guys have as well is one that for those people who are disabled, who are trying to find a job, a J-O-B kind of job, that is they're finding really difficult. Moving into a heart, H-E-A-R-T, filled or heart-centered business is something that can allow you to live with your disability in a way that it no longer is a disability. It is actually a springboard for moving forward, healing yourself, and making a difference for other people all at the same time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, Dina.
Absolutely right.
And we've had emails from a number of people who have registered and are studying the Bridging Heart and Marketing training sessions who are saying, this is perfect for me because I have a chronic illness, or I'm housebound, and I can do all of this from my home, and I'm so excited to be changing my life and making it, you know, really work for me and work for the people that I can help. So it just fits exactly with what you're talking about.
And I do not ever see my life as a life filled with disability. If I'm forced to sit down and analyze the actions I take on a day-to-day basis, do I have some things that I have to do differently? Yes. Would I term them a disability? No, I wouldn't. But it's because of this lifestyle that I lead. My husband and I are full-time RVers. We sold our house. We live in a bus full-time. We travel around the country all over the place. Because of the business, I'm able to do things differently. I don't do my own laundry. Somebody else does it. I don't have to worry about going grocery shopping. My husband's retired and he takes care of me. The business allows those things to happen. And I can now live a life that to me is 100% filled with wonderful things as opposed to things that I'm not able to do because of my health and issues. So
right, and I'm a blind person.
The way to really, yeah. Go ahead, Rhonda.
You know, I'm a blind person living out in the country where there's no bus transportation, and some people go, how do you put up with that? How don't you? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, I don't get out away from the house all that often, but I do get rides from people. I am in contact with people from Malaysia, Australia, Germany, all over the U.S., Canada, England, all over the place because of the power of technology. And even though everything I have to do to run my business is a little bit extra challenging for me than it is for you because I have to use adaptive technology. To me, it's I get to stay home and do what I want to do with my life and have a fabulous life for which I am so incredibly grateful. And the little differences that I have to do because I'm blind and I'm using screen reading technology and whatever, yeah, occasionally things can get a little annoying, but that's called life. I love my life. I am so grateful, and I absolutely love being able to reach out to people and share the power of you being able to tell your story, to write books, to do wonderful things in your own life. And that's what it's all about.
Please. And the difference is, in John Gordon's book, what he calls looking at life as being a privilege as opposed to being something negative. Everything
right.
we get to do is a get to do, not we have to do it.
Well, the two of you, I don't know what Jim is about to say, but what I want to say is you just took me to church, both of you. And And I'm in tears of gratitude to both of you of the blessing of hearing both of your stories. And I thank you both just so much. And I want to thank you in honor of everybody who hears your stories, who can be inspired to get going and have a larger life no matter where you're starting from. Because, you know, Glory, the two of you just represent what life can be no matter what comes your way.
Right. Well, and thank you to you and Jim for bringing the heart and marketing out for people to really understand how they can go about doing this.
Yes.
So go ahead, Jim, and then we'll close the show.
Ladies,
okay.
I just have to say, I am knocked out by the two of you. And I think you had no idea about any of this, none, had no idea what either of you did, and the result is I am humbled, and I thank you for allowing us to be on your show.
Well, thank you so much for being here, and I will connect with the two of you as soon as I get to Vegas and make some time for us to get together.
Let's
Perfect.
Do that.
Wonderful.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, again, I can't recommend Bridging Heart and Marketing 3 enough to our listeners. You'll find it at www.tinyurl.com/Rhonda, R-O-N-D-A, says yes, tinyurl.com/Rhonda says yes, and watch the blog at www.thejvuniversity.com for information about the upcoming workshop, December 10th in Las Vegas, on how to build a business around facilitating joint ventures for other people. We're looking forward to having Jim and Judith as our guests at the workshop, and Rhonda will be there, I'll be there, Willie Crawford and David Preston and Sahel Khan will all be there, and we'll look forward to being back with all of you on next Tuesday at noon Eastern for another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, everyone, and have a wonderful, positive week. Take care, everybody.
Thanks. Bye.